I'm gonna tell you a story now. But as any good storyteller knows, one must first be sure the audience is prepared. Is everybody comfortably seated? Does anyone need to use the bathroom? Oh, you, sir, in the back? Well, hold it in.
Now, where to begin? How about once upon a time?
How many times have you heard that to begin a story? Let's do something else. I got it.
Oh, no, not the book. How many have seen opening the book before? Close the book. We're not doing that.
Okay, let's get this over with. Three little kittens loved to play. They had fun in the sun all day. Then their mother came out and said, "Time for kittens to go to bed." Wow, this is garbage. You actually like this?
Keep reading. Come on.
All right.
Grandpa, maybe you could come over and read it again to me tomorrow.
As you wish.
The end.
All right, let's focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. Like Pastor Ryan said, we are in week 2 of our current series we're calling Stories. And in this series, we're looking at the stories Jesus shared to describe what God is like. In the Bible, these short fictional stories are known as parables, and Jesus used everyday life objects and situations to help us better understand who God is and how we can relate to him. Today, we're looking to both ask and hopefully answer this question: how does prayer change my situation? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus in your life, I've got good news. There is hope found in Jesus, and at the end of this message, I'll give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'm going to have you go ahead and take out your phone and open up your Bible app. If you have your paper Bible with you today, awesome, good job. We'll open that up too. We're going to open it to Luke chapter 18. We're going to read from the New Living Translation. And if you have not downloaded the Bible app into your phone yet, you're going to want to do that. You can find it in the Apple or Android store. And it's just the best app that you could possibly be carrying around with you. So why would you not have it? So go ahead and download it. Open it up, Luke chapter 18, NLT. And I'm going to set up our story for today. So Jesus has been teaching his disciples about prayer through a series of parables. And the parable that I'm going to teach on today is this parable of the persistent widow. So we're going to read here in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests.'" Let's pray. Dear God, I just pray that you would be with us for these next few moments as we unpack your word for us today. Open our minds, our hearts, our spirits to receive what you have for us in this message of praying and never giving up. In Jesus' name, amen. I was scrolling through my phone, like just how I do, and I came across this post that someone had shared, and it was a quote from the movie Shrek. So if you know the movie Shrek or that series, you're going to know what this is talking about. It said, "You know when Donkey followed Shrek home and just kept talking? That's what it's like having kids." All right? So, and it's true. I mean, kids like to talk. They talk a lot. And when I remember not being a parent just yet and thinking, my kids aren't going to talk that much. Like, people exaggerate. Like, they don't keep talking nonstop, it's fine. And no, my 4-year-old and my 8-year-old in the comfort of their own home and wanting to just share everything happening in their lives in the moment, they just don't stop talking. It just keeps going. And I love that they feel so comfortable talking about things. But sometimes, and I know parents of teenagers, it's going to stop someday. So I'm going to cherish it while I can. But I need rest sometimes. It's fine. So kids don't just love talking. They love asking for things too, especially when they know that it's something you could give them if you wanted to. If you said yes, they could have it. So they are persistent when they know that you could provide what they're asking for. For example, my 8-year-old Nora, she'll be 9 in July. She wants a phone. So bad. And my answer so far has been no. And she's presented me with every argument that she possibly can. Okay, so mom, if I ride my bike to school and I get there, I need to call you to let you know I made it safely. I'm like, well, you're not riding your bike to school yet. She could. We do live close enough. We live in a little village called Fall River. So she could ride her bike to school. A lot of kids do. But I'm like, you know, I drop you off my way to work. It works out that way. We don't need a phone just yet. Like maybe someday when you're walking or riding to school, maybe someday that's going to happen. But right now is not the time. And she has other arguments. My friends have phones. All of my friends, all of the kids in my class have phones. I'm like, I know that they don't. I have conversations with those parents. They don't all have phones. And if you're a parent here and your 8-year-old has a phone, like, God bless, no judgment, but mine just is not getting one yet. So my answer has been no so far. And maybe you've heard before that you're supposed to present your request to God in prayer, but you're not sure why when he might just say no. We see in multiple Bible verses that we are instructed to bring our requests to God, and then God responds. For example, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Wait, how does that give me what I ask for? God may not respond the way you want him to or have something else for you in that situation first, because prayer isn't just about asking and receiving. In our culture today, we've painted prayer out to be a way for us to get what we want. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone tell me, well, I prayed for it and nothing happened, so God must have just said no, and they move on. Or I prayed about the situation and God hasn't changed anything yet. And my response to that is, well, what else did God say about it? When we don't receive a response to our prayer request right away, it may be for several reasons, but it's never because God wants us to give up. In fact, it's all the reason more to keep talking to him or hearing from him about it. Well, Pastor, how do I hear from God? First, while you're praying, that continually talking to him in prayer, where you're growing that relationship with him through the conversations you're having with him, I want to say, listen. When you're praying to him, pause to listen. Remember, it's a conversation where we're not just talking to God and presenting things to him, but we're getting to know him. We're spending time with him in worship. We're spending time just on our knees, like just talking to him. When we're doing that, listen. And it may not be an audible voice that you hear. In fact, most of the time it's not. It's a thought or movement on our heart. It's outside of your character or normal choices or behavior that doesn't go against God's word. Whatever that thought is or that movement of your heart might be, it might go against what you might normally do or what you might normally think, a choice, a decision to go do something. And if it aligns with God's word, that's probably God speaking to your heart. Sometimes it's an encouragement that we need that we usually wouldn't think to ourselves. There's that quickening of our spirit. Second, read the Bible. Search through your Bible app, search through your Bible to see what God says about the situation you're going through, the response that you received. Test it against God's word, always. Reading his word is how we discover his heart too. So sometimes before we even bring requests to God, we already know his stance on what we're about to ask for. We can better receive his responses to our prayer requests and receive those next steps that he gives us when we know where he's coming from, when we know his character, when we know his heart. When we know someone, then we know what their response is a little bit better. The Bible teaches us that we go back to God in prayer again. We don't just go once. It's important that we keep on praying and we don't give up. When it comes to knowing God, consistent prayer is vital because prayer is how we maintain a relationship with God. My parents, my family, my sister, they live about 5 hours away in Indiana. And to maintain a relationship with them, there are different things I can use. I can't talk to them in person, so I can call them on the phone. I can use Marco Polo. We use that app to talk a lot and just catch up if one of us doesn't have time to talk. My sister and I are just snapping each other constantly. There are different ways we can stay communicating to maintain a relationship. And it's important that we do this, or else I don't know what to get them for gifts, right? I don't know what I'm gonna get them for Christmas or birthdays. I don't know what's been happening in their life, what their plans are. They don't know my plans. They don't know what's happening in my life, and I can't get feedback from them. I trust them. I wanna hear from them. Mom, this is what's happening in my life. And she's like, here's my opinion about that. It's not always, you know, something I want to hear, but it's something I need to hear. We have to talk to maintain a relationship. The most exciting thing we do, though, is make plans that we can carry out when we are together. So we get to live out those plans in person, and I know what to expect when we hang out and we're finally together, because we spent all of that time for the purpose of maintaining a relationship and making those plans. So it's just great when we get to make plans and then do those things together. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples the lesson in this parable with his Father God's heart in mind. He's saying it with the character of his Father, the heart of his Father in mind. He says, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to those chosen people, to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. Jesus said that. He wanted his disciples to learn that when we're persistent in our prayer life, God's heart is moved by our tenacity. When we revere God and recognize him for what he is and grow familiar with his heart and his character, we have an easier time presenting our requests to him in faith, because we know the heart of our Father. We know his character. When you hear someone pray with you sometimes, you'll hear them state things we know about God first, things that we know from the scriptures. They might start to pray, God, we know you go before us in battle. God, we know you work for the good of those who love you. God, we know you're a good father. We know you show up where your people gather together in prayer. We know that you're a God of order and not a God of chaos. We know these things because your word tells us who you are. We know these things. So we're about to pray this prayer in faith, God, because we know you. We recognize that we know who God is and what he's capable of, and we are prepared to give him glory for what he does when he does it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes this to the church in Thessalonica, never stop praying, or in other versions it says, pray without ceasing. The Greek word used in this word for without ceasing was also used to describe a persistent cough or hacking cough or repeated military attacks just happening over and over and over again. The idea of prayer Paul is trying to communicate is the same as Jesus' parable. Always pray and never give up. The spiritual battlefield is impacted by our faithfulness and tenacity in prayer. I think it's important to remember that our definition of swift justice or an answered prayer, remember this, is not the same as God's, though. What we expect to happen is not what God's definition of is, always. And what we want to see change isn't always the change that we need. Sometimes God simply won't respond to our request at that moment because we need more time in prayer with him, which is going to impact how we feel about the situation or challenge us to rethink the situation through a different lens. I want to call back to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We read them earlier. It was the verse that said, don't be anxious about anything, don't worry about anything, but take everything to God in prayer. Because the next verse says this, when you do this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I think every time we present any request to God, we need what this verse says to fill us up first. Whatever we're presenting to God, whatever we're presenting to him, God, I'm worried about this right now. He's like, stop. Let me give you my peace first. Let me give you this peace to fill you up, and you can experience this first. Like, you're coming to me. You're spending time with me. Let's give you this peace that passes understanding. It says his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That peace is meant to guard your heart and your minds. Think about what these things alone can change in our requests. How incredibly different could our mindset be if we came back a second time to pray about that same thing and we're starting from a place of peace instead of a place of worry? Completely different lens. Instead of worrying about something and we're like, God, I know you're in control. God, I know you have the authority. You've filled me with your peace. I have peace about this, but here's this request again. Our request even might change a little bit, knowing who God is. Prayer can alter our hearts and perspectives. Sometimes the justice, mercy, or breakthrough we're looking for, it isn't found in the answer to prayer we think it is. Sometimes the first change that needs to happen for our situation is a change in us. And that change happens through prayer and maintaining our relationship with God. His character, his nature, his personality will have an influence on you. Right? That phrase, less of me, more of you, God. He's always there to listen and love and provide instruction. Sometimes that instruction is to wait. Sometimes that instruction is to step outside the box and change perspectives. And sometimes that instruction is to learn more and then resubmit your request with more discernment. Now, for Nora, all three of those things were true. We needed to wait. We're going to wait. Eventually, we'll say yes. Well, eventually, we'll be like, yes, you need a phone. I need to stay in contact with you. And I'm sure at some point she'll like wish that we'd not given her a phone so we can stay in contact with her. But she's going to get a phone at some point. But right now, we're going to wait. We needed to step outside the box and change our perspective of this a little bit. I didn't just say no. I said, here's why. I said, you just don't need one yet. It's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of information for someone to carry. It's kind of heavy information. And, you know, it's just one more thing and I'm going to have to supervise and go through and stuff. You don't want that yet. Trust me. You don't want it yet. She said, okay, I don't want it yet. But no, we even had this conversation again yesterday. She's like, okay, but this. No, we're going to wait. So she also is going to know more about having a phone and the responsibility of it when we talk about it again, we eventually say yes. I want her to be able to understand the responsibility of having it, the weight of having it. But sometimes that instruction God gives us is to gather other people to join us in praying tenaciously for something. We're supposed to include other people on this journey. I want to tell you a story about something that happened when I was in high school. It's in 2004. I was working at our church's daycare, and there was a friend of mine that worked in the classroom next door. She was the same age as me, and I remember her getting the news that her older sister, Candace, had been in a car accident. Her car had slipped on some ice, and it collided with a bus. And the only seat in the entire car that was not crumpled to nothing was the driver's seat. But she was injured very badly, and she was in a coma. And the doctors did not expect her to make it through the night or the next week when she did make it through the night. And they said, you know, if she does wake up from this coma, she'll be in a vegetative state. And, you know, if she does, we're not even getting brain activity right now. But I remember the way her parents immediately rallied, had the church rally around her. They called up the church. They called up everybody they knew, and they said, pray. We need you to pray. We need your prayers right now. They said, people are like, do you want us to make meals? They're like, no, pray. We need you to pray. And I just remember all of the people praying, the quickest and longest lasting like prayer chain that was ever formed, like I'd ever seen in my life, was formed like this. And you know, this is before the time of social media where someone's posting a prayer request. This is like, we're calling each other, we're texting each other, we still got our flip phones with the numbers like 555-226. You know, we're getting this going. This information is out there and people are praying. I remember just not even a week later after the accident happened in our church lobby, there's just this big calendar board sitting there and it's just got every day with time slots where people are filling in their names and times that they're going to pray and fast. The entire board was covered. Every day was covered. Every time slot was taken up because people were signing up to praying and fasting. If you're not familiar with the term fasting, fasting is prioritizing prayer over something else that you would usually do throughout your day. You're giving up a meal to pray and fast. You're giving up time that you're spending on social media, time watching TV. You're giving up something to take time out of your day to pray over a specific subject that's called fasting. And so after 8 weeks of being in a coma and this prayer and this fasting taking place, she woke up. She began to move. She was not in a vegetative state. She began to speak, and she began physical therapy. That was God. The doctors couldn't explain what was happening. Like, they're having to work with her now. Like, we weren't going to have a spot in physical therapy for her because we didn't think she would need it, because this wasn't supposed to happen. But God did something with the people that are praying and the people that are fasting. Those prayers matter. Those prayers impacted. The doctors couldn't explain it. And they said, she might be doing this stuff now, and we can't explain it, but she'll never fully recover. She'll never walk. People kept praying. We kept praying, and Candace started to walk. Candace stayed in physical therapy until she could just walk on her own with nothing. And I remember that after months of physical therapy and continued prayers, Candace got to our auditorium doors at the church, and she walked into the church, and she sat down and took her seat. People, that's God. That's something unexplainable happening that doctors still to this day cannot explain how it happened, because it shouldn't have happened. Everything said and pointed to this not being able to happen, but God did this. We witnessed a miracle happen, and everyone in attendance at church that day knew what was happening when she came in and took her seat, because we were all praying. We were all praying. Sometimes that instruction God gives us is to gather other people to join us in praying tenaciously for something, because maybe someone specific in your life, God wants you to ask them to pray with you on that thing, because he wants to improve on their faith as well when they get to witness what he does. I'm not going to do this yet. I'm not going to do this as you bring this request to me, but I want you to get this person to pray with you because they need to witness what I'm about to do. Listen while you're praying. Again, I was scrolling through my social feeds because I do it a lot and I probably need to fast it for a while. And there was this post that I saw a friend of my sister's make. And you know, you have those friends on Facebook where you're like, you're not really in contact anymore. You were like in the same friend group at some point, but like, you know, you went your separate ways, but you're still friends because you're nosy and you want to know what's going on with life. Okay, so this is one of these friends. This is one of these friends. And I just stopped when I saw his post. It was not with a picture or anything. It was just one sentence, and it just said, thoughts and prayers are tired things. And it just kind of broke me. I'm like, here's this person who does not know Jesus, who sees people just post like praying for you, you know, over different prayer requests, but probably does not understand the concept of prayer. And to him, just thoughts and prayers are tired things. Prayers are tired things. And I've just looked at it and I'm like, that's so wrong. Prayer is not a tired thing. Prayer is us going to God. It's strengthening our relationship with him. It's getting to know him better. It's getting to know who we are better. It's quoting scripture. It's quoting this word of God that is alive and active, and it's not a tired thing. When y'all comment on people's posts, praying for you, praying this happens, I want to challenge you to follow through on that. Take a second and pray. Go to the throne, go with them in arms, get in the trenches, go to war with them, pray over that thing. If you plan to do it later, get a checklist in your phone, like, I need to pray over this person, over this thing. Because it's making an impact on the spiritual battleground. I invite my mom to pray for me over things often, because my mom taught me how to pray, and I appreciate her so much for that. And we were getting ready to go to River Valley Conference. We were just there this last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday conference. And we got to experience God as a team. Our leadership team went, and we get to just kind of be refreshed, go to service, go to worship, experience like main sessions, just being ministered to, and then going to breakout sessions where we just get to better equip for our ministries. And I told my mom, I'm praying right now for a breakthrough. I don't know what that means, but I just know that I need to pray for it. I know that I need it in my life. And she said, okay, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray that this happens. And I haven't got to tell her, like, the outcome of this yet. So, Mom, if you're watching online, like, oh, I'm so glad. So my mom prayed with me for this breakthrough. And this is something I've been praying for a while. And I got to the first main session, and I got to get into worship. And I just did not, like, hardly stood up and sang the first word. And God was like, download. There was this breakthrough in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit that just started to happen. And he was like, okay, the theme of this conference was take ground. And what that meant for me was that there are areas of my life where I have not stepped out in faith with the authority that Jesus has given me and taken ground over situations, taken ground over things in my heart, taken ground over things in my mind, taken ground over things in my life that shouldn't be there, taken ground in my relationship with my husband, with my kids. Things that Jesus said, I've got promises for you here, and we're gonna start taking ground. This breakthrough was not something that happened in the physical realm. This is not something that happened that changed a situation with anybody else. This is a breakthrough that happened with me. I didn't know that I needed this breakthrough, but God was like, okay, here's a breakthrough in your mind, your heart, and your spirit. Let's go. If there's anything that I want you to take away from this message here today, anything at all, it's going to be in the blue box on your notes today. It's a breakthrough happens when I am persistent in my prayer life. Pastor Robbie, but what if I need a reminder to stay persistent? Like, this is good right now, but later on when I get out of here and I just don't feel like going back over and over again to God with this prayer request. Guys, there are so many good reminders in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in God's Word. He's going to point you back toward communication with Him. He's going to tell you about all of the good ways to be praying, how to be praying, and what prayer does. But my favorite passage that keeps me grounded in what's important is this one from earlier that includes Paul's instructions. This is my stance on praying. This is my stance on how to pray. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Always be joyful. Guys, I'm not saying that you have to feel happy right now. I'm saying when the enemy starts to creep in and steal your joy, take it back. Choose joy. Your circumstances may not be one that points to worldly happiness right now. Oh, well, choose joy. Because when you're choosing joy and you're choosing to walk out in faith and saying, I know my God, I know He has my best interest at heart, and I'm choosing joy, we're just rubbing it in the enemy's face. Do that. I'm gonna knock this off the stage. Do that. Choose joy. Never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Come back time after time after time, like you are going onto a battlefield. Keep praying. Never stop. Be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful for what you have. Look at what you have with gratitude. Don't be looking at everybody else's posts on social media. It's all fake anyway, but I'm just kidding. Like, I post my kids and they are actually cute. Be thankful for what you've got. Be happy with what you've got. Use what you have. Let the Lord use what you have to bless other people. That's gratitude in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. We have hope in Him. We have a reason to be joyful. It's not easy all the time, but we've got that. We've got that hope found in Jesus. That's the difference between us being in a relationship with Jesus and not, is that we get to have hope. We have His mercy. We have His love. He loves us, but we have that hope when we're in relationship with Him. Jesus' story of the persistent widow demonstrates that effective prayer requires tenacity and faithfulness. See, it's significant that He used a judge and a widow in this story. He didn't just use a man and a woman or just a person of the law and a woman. He used a judge because the judges were held in high esteem and they were expected to judge with wisdom, with compassion, from a place that was just, you know, choosing fate for people. And this judge was unjust. He did not love people. He did not care about people. He did not fear God. This was clearly not a judge that should have had the position that he had. And a widow in this culture, in this time where Jesus is teaching, is one of the most cared for, loved, and taken care of person, right there with orphans, right there with people that don't have parents, right there with just people that need the support of their community around them. They're held in high esteem. And for this judge to treat this widow so poorly was just, it was unthinkable. It's unheard of. And maybe that's you here today where you're just like, I need justice. I did not do anything to deserve what's happening to me right now. I need the Lord to just come do something. Like we feel a little entitled to what we're asking for. And the widow could have done that. She could have gone to the judge and been like, I am just not getting it, this from him, this justice from him. He should be giving it to me. Guys, don't you think he should be giving it to me? Because I'm a widow in this culture. And if he's just not going to, then this woe is me. I'm just not going to go back. But instead, this widow goes back over and over and over, no matter how this judge is treating her. She's just bothering him to the point where he just relents. And he just says, okay, whatever you want, whatever justice you need, have it. I don't care about people. I don't fear God, but here, just take it. And Jesus said, that's how we need to be in our prayer life, that tenacious. How much more is God willing to show mercy and give justice and provide breakthrough to those who love him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for the word that you have for us this morning on prayer and what it means for us to pray and to be in communion with you, just constantly keeping up with that relationship. Lord, I pray for those right now who are needing breakthrough here this morning, that God, they've brought things to your feet before and they're still waiting on a response or waiting on an answer. God, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts this morning. Create that shift in their spirit that they need. Lord, those who are just chasing after you, Jesus, and they just need a touch from you this morning, I pray that they would have that, that your presence would just be here with us, Holy Spirit. Those who of us who are just still learning how to pray, God, teach us when we get into your word. Challenge us, Holy Spirit, to keep getting into your word. God, teach us to pray and never quit. Teach us to not give up. We just love you, God. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we give you all of the glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed still, I said that I was going to offer you an opportunity to receive the hope that's found in Jesus this morning, and we're gonna do that here in a moment. If you're here today and you've not made that decision to make Jesus the leader of your life, to invite him in, say, I know that I'm not supposed to be doing this alone. I know that the burdens that I carry are too much for me. Yeah, you're right. You're not supposed to be doing this alone. We weren't designed to do life alone. You weren't designed to carry all of this by yourself. Jesus says, I'll carry these burdens, like take my peace instead. So if this is you this morning, that you're like, you're ready, like, God, I need you to just come be the leader of my life. I need you to be the main character of my story. Direct my steps, order my steps. We're gonna pray a prayer here. I'm gonna pray it in bite-sized pieces. I'm gonna ask you to repeat the words after me. But everyone here in the Focus Church family is gonna do that with you, because we don't pray alone here at Focus Church. So if that's you here today, I'm gonna have you repeat these words after me. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for all that I've done wrong. I need you to lead me. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for my sins. God, provide breakthrough. Give me hope. Give me a purpose. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.